thank you for this great opportunity. And we're so grateful and so appreciative of this opportunity. And we don't take it for granted. So we ask you to continue to pour into us so we can be a blessing in the life of so many others. Thank you for everyone who took time out of their schedule to give you a moment of their time, whether they're online or here in the sanctuary. For those who are worshiping all over this country, all over this world, who decides today they're going to serve and worship you. We pray for safety for all those athletes who are playing in games today. Lord, we ask you to prevent any kind of injuries that may be life-threatening. Lord, we don't want any family to lose out because of a sporting event. So we just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So it's about the kingdom of God. And it's so important because I want to bring this out because it's much needed. When I read Matthew, that sixth chapter, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Right. So he gives us a responsibility to live right, right? And then he also tells us if we seek Him first, all right, He'd give us everything we need. There's no need for anything. I was listening to the praise and worship team as they were singing, and everybody was so excited because the songs were so beautiful. And they sung the song, "He is able." And understand that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, right? And then they wrapped it up with "Nobody's greater than Him," right? There's nobody greater. And so we often sing those songs from the bottom of our heart. But we have a war in our members. Whenever we desire to do good, evil is always present. So we hear the songs, and we hear the titles of the song and the lyrics of the songs, and it means so much to us. But our subconscious, we've downloaded so much stuff in our subconscious that sometimes it can't rise above "He's greater" or "He's able to do," right? And we say it, but we don't really believe it often. And so it becomes very challenging in our life, right? So we don't trust Him in every area of our life, right? And so we talk about how much we trust Him. We talk about how much we believe Him. But if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that when the children of Israel started out after Shem and God blessed them, you see this chronicle of their life as God was moving with the children of Israel. And He's letting them know that there's nobody greater than me, and I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask or think. So you follow this journey in the Bible about this kingdom, right? God is establishing after He's so frustrated with the behavior of the people in the world, right? He jumpstarts the world, and then He talks about these Israelites, these children of God, and it ends up in Abraham's children of faith. But I don't want you to miss this because it's so important when we talk about He's able to do and He's there's nobody greater than Him, right? And we mean that because a lot of us are living in houses we didn't build. We drive in cars we didn't build. And we live in life that we never thought we would ever live. We live so much better than so many people in our life that have fought so hard for us to get where we are. And God opened up so many doors for us, right? And the thing is, we have to really know this from the bottom of our heart. And so we have to really make a commitment to God. I was reading Ezra, and Ezra came on the scene as his priest. And God loved Ezra, and He wanted Ezra to come back and teach the law to everything. So He gave the king, the wicked kings, and everybody the mindset to make sure Ezra had everything because Ezra loved God. I want you to know something. When you love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, when everything you do, you make your commitment to Him, He changes your life. When you pour into Him, everything about you, young people, I want you to hear this as a young people. When you give God your all, everything about you, your whole soul, mind, and body, you will never, ever miss out anything in life. Right? And God will open up literally the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings. You don't even have room enough to receive them. A lot of you young kids are being blessed, man, because of what God did for your parents, right? He blessed your parents, and because He blessed your parents, you're blessed, right? And so we go along thinking it's just normal, but it's not normal, right? What God do it is a little abnormal, right? And so I want you guys to understand that. But this message about the kingdom and the birth of the kingdom, right? When we read the Old Testament and we watch God in the Old Testament and he's moving strategically in the Old Testament, and as he moved, the children of Israel, every time the children of Israel would commit their life to God, it was blessed. And whenever they decided to be wicked, they had kings that was wicked, God would always take another wicked army, and it's almost like he had the Assyrians in his back pocket. He would come in and he would destroy them, and he would literally kill thousands and thousands and thousands of people because they were wicked, because they were doing things contrary to the law, because they understood the law. They understood the law because Moses had given it to them. They knew it. Their parents had downloaded it in them, so they knew the right thing to do. They just chose not to do the right thing. Right? And whenever they chose not to do the right thing, there was a severe consequence. Literally, sometimes did entire nations because of it. Right? So, but every time they would repent, everybody said repent. Every time they would repent and turn, and God would turn back around because he's a merciful God, and he would come back and restore the children of Israel, and he'd get them back on the right track. So he told them that he's going to give them the promised land. And now I want you to think about what happened in this kingdom, right? So in this original kingdom, under this covenant, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they went into Egypt with a small group of people, with God with them going into Egypt. He really went into Egypt as one. He went into Egypt as Joseph, right, being sold into slavery, really to establish the whole children of Israel, to rock and roll, so they can learn culture, learn society, learn math, learn science. They came out of Egypt, about 605,000 of them came out. As they was crying to God, now listen to me, as they were struggling, they started to cry to God and ask God, said, God, we want to be delivered from what's going on. God heard their cry, and he sent Moses. Moses went down into Egypt, delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God walked with them by pillar cloud. He just was there. He was rain, food, clothes. He was everything for them. So they went into the wilderness on their way to the promised land on an 11-day journey, right? Because of their rebelliousness, don't miss this, because of their rebelliousness and their self-centeredness, and it was all about them, and they were so selfish, they really couldn't focus on this guy who had delivered them from Pharaoh. They was in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of us are in a hole longer than we have to be in a hole, right? Because we don't really trust God, right? As God provided for them and was providing for them, and as he provided for you, you still don't give him the credit for who he is, right? And you keep going and you think it's you. And the children of Israel, we got out there so far and they thought God was not with them. And sometimes we're in a situation and it seems so dark and so bleak. And we're like, man, is he there? And then they say, I wish I can go back to selling dope because I was making more money. I wish I can go back. I can go back and make more money doing this here. And all of those who thought they could make more money selling dope all died in the wilderness. All the ones who thought they can go back and say, listen, we want to go back. Everyone else started complaining and wanted to go back to Egypt. He killed them all. None of them made it to the promised land. Because when God blesses you and he shows you his blessing, you think he is going to let you turn around and do what you want to do and make mockery of me after I put so many people to shame getting you where you are? Everybody who doubted you, I blessed you and I brought you along the way. And everybody said you weren't going to be nothing. I made you somebody, right? They say you're going to be like your daddy and you was greater than him, right? And you were going to be like your mama, but you was greater than him. And he has kept on blessing your life. They say you couldn't get the job and you got it. And now you got it and you want to turn your back on him and you want to go backwards, right? He says, okay, now don't play with me because just check my history, right? Now, because he didn't play in the Old Testament. Right? So when you did something wrong, God just, that's it. I don't have time for this craziness. And I got to uproot all the evilness stuff, all the crooked stuff. Anybody was doing things that was contrary, God said, I got to get rid of them. And here's the thing, Martha. The reason why he killed the children, right, and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, he said, because that seed are passed down through generations. And I don't want it to resurrect itself. So he said, I got to uproot all of them. you do not want God to uproot your legacy. Right? Don't put your children in trouble because of you. Now, I know you all say, well, he's different. Well, here's the thing. We download, a lot of us in our subconscious and things that's happening is stuff that was downloaded in us. And we act like the people that download the stuff in our system. And we start, if you watch yourself, you start behaving like some of those people. Right? And you need to be transformed. Now, God loved us so much. Right? And he knew that they didn't have the power of him operating in their life. So here's what happened. There was a young lady named Elizabeth. Elizabeth got pregnant along with Mary. They got pregnant around the same time. One was 6 months before the other. And John the Baptist's mother was Elizabeth. Elizabeth got pregnant with this baby, and she was a righteous woman. And here's the thing. God put the deliverer in the belly of the woman, right? He put, first of all, watch the power of God. Elizabeth, the baby, got the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb of his mother, right? He was, John the Baptist was so powerful that everybody, a lot of people thought he was the Messiah because the life he lived and how he rebelled against the wickedness and evil. Because what God is about to do, he's about to usher in the new kingdom and the new covenant agreement. And he did it way before time. So this woman gets pregnant, right? Her niece or her cousin gets pregnant as well with Jesus, right? John the Baptist is born. It seemed like we would think they would know each other because Elizabeth went, Mary went to her house. But for some reason, when you read the Bible, in Mark is one of the first books that was written before Matthew, Luke, and John, because those are synoptic gospels. Mark is different. So they feel like Mark, all the authors and the scholars feel like Mark is the book that everybody else copied off of, right? And so Mark was telling this story, and Mark got most of this stuff from Peter's preaching, right? Because all the New Testament was written after Jesus was gone, right? But they started to tell us this story about this kingdom, and I want you to understand about this kingdom because it impacts you in such a powerful, powerful way, right? And so in Mark, what happens, it says in Mark the 7th chapter, John, who was John the Baptist, who had the Holy Spirit before he was ever born. Right? Keep this in mind. He had the Holy Spirit, man, before he was ever born. And so it leaped in his womb. And his mother, he was just jumping around, bouncing around, ready to come out. Because he wanted to deliver this message. He wanted to be the forerunner. Right? Now, John comes on the scene. John is preaching in the wilderness. Right? The wilderness is important because the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they went into the wilderness. And they were there for 40 years, right? And God was working with them and dealing with them, trying to get them in order, right? All temptations, all these different trials and tribulations was coming on them while they were coming out of Egypt, right? Now, this is the old covenant agreement, right? Now God is about to usher in this new covenant or this new contract with humanity, right? And this new contract was going to be powerful. And don't you miss it, because here's what John says. So John make announcements, Spud, right? Someone is coming, and he's coming soon, right? He says, who is greater than I am. The reason why he had to tell them that, because they felt like John was great. John was amazing. John was powerful. John was spiritual. There was nobody else in the law, none of the Pharisees, nearby could even compare to John, because John was just that brilliant. God had downloaded his word in John. So when John spoke, everybody would listen, right? So John said, is someone coming greater, so much greater than I am? I'm not even worthy to stoop down as a slave and untie his shoes. He says, listen, this person that's coming is going to be magnificent, and he's unbelievable. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to miss this here. He's really among us. Because God is going to pick him up from among us. Now, I know we tell me he's coming down from heaven. No, he came down from amongst them, right? And I'm going to show you this because it's interesting because his mother was Mary. He was both divine and human, right? But we're going to talk about the Son of Man versus the Son of God, right? And the difference between the two, right? So here's what John, this is what I want you to get. Now, I want nobody to miss this. I baptize you with water, right? But Stephanie, he says, but he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, here's the difference. John going to baptize you, and people going to see you because you're going to come to him and tell everybody I'm different. People are going to see you and they're going to think you saved. Because you made a commitment in front of everybody and you telling everybody, I've been baptized, I've repented, because you had to repent for your sins. Now, he wasn't going to baptize you unless you repented. You had to make a confession that you turned from whatever you was doing. Now, it's important because the children of Israel was under the law and they was doing everything everywhere, right? And they thought they was doing God's will, a lot of them, but they was not, right? So it's important that John's baptism was for people to see the change, right? Because the water baptism don't give you nothing, right? So the water baptism is an out expression what really happened on the inside, right? So everybody see that I made a commitment. So I said, come up, y'all, get the cameras. Take some pictures. Make sure you see it. Everybody said, listen, so-and-so just got baptized, so I know they what? Saved. I don't know if they saved for real, but they look like they saved because they went down in the water and they came up, right? Some people say you go down as a wet devil and you come up, as a dry devil and come up as a wet one if you don't get the second baptism, right? Because he says, but Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus' baptism was from the heart. It was a heart transformation. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to change you from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's going to change your heart, the way you behave, the way you think, the way you move, not the way you look, right? And once he changed the way you move on the inside, because it's an inside job, the manifestation is going to show up on the outside. Now, sometimes we can look like we saved, but our heart is different, right? And so we look saved, we talk saved, but we ain't really saved, right? We talk about Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, but I'm still whoremongering, I'm still lying and cheating and stealing and doing all kinds of stuff, running con games in the name of Jesus, right? And then say, won't he do it, right? And so you're doing all these things, making mockery of God. But the people that really been baptized with the Holy Spirit, right, their heart is transformed. They had a heart transplant. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. And so what happens is, so now God is about to usher in a new kingdom, right? So now listen, under the old covenant agreement, they would circumcise the penis, right? They would take the foreskin off, and it was a visible sign that everybody know the Jews one of God's, right? But now it's going to be a transformation of the heart, right? So now God is about to reside in people. Now this is important, right? So I want you to miss this here. So now in Mark verse 9, chapter 1, it says, one day Jesus came to Nazareth in Galilee, and John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River. So now it's important. So now God is about to introduce this new kingdom, right? So the kingdom was already established, right? But he's about to reshape the whole kingdom, and he's about to include some people, and he's about to come down and work an inside job. So he's about to show you that I'm going to be in you now, moving in you and as you, but it's going to really be me working through you, right? And so you can't fake it no more with him, because in your heart, everything you do is on you. And you can fake everybody else out. He said, but everything, you're going to know it, right? Then he says in verse 10, as Jesus came up out of the water. Now remember, Jesus was Mary's baby boy, born of Mary. He comes to be baptized. Now, I'm not getting into no theological stuff. I leave that to Dr. Abby Adiam. They're the theologians, right? I'm just a preacher, right? So, but Jesus, I'm not saying, because so many people say, Jesus ain't never committed no sin and all that kind of stuff. I'm not arguing that, so I'm not here to debate that with you. I'm just telling you, John the Baptist wasn't baptizing nobody unless they repented of their sins first, right? So now, we don't know nothing about Jesus till he was 30. We knew a little bit about when he was 12 years old. The rest of it is in our mind, right? But something's going on because he was a human, and human nature is different, right? But this is important. So as Jesus came up out of the water, everybody's out of the water. Now, God did not come out of the water. God didn't get baptized, right? Don't forget that. God did not baptize Melanie, right? So as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart. And watch this here. And the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. So now all of a sudden, right? The heavens open and the Spirit of God comes down on this human being, right? Now, it's important. Now, the distinction between Jesus and God is that Jesus got baptized by John. The baptizer was always greater than the baptizee. Always remember that, right? So John the Baptist had to be greater at the time, but he was telling you he wasn't, right? But this is important. I don't want you to miss this, right? God was going to make Jesus much greater in the eyes of everybody. He's about to show you who he is, but here's the thing. And he's going to show you who you are at the same time. So you can't miss this, right? So now, here's the next verse. And a voice. Everybody say a voice. Now, Shiga, I know you be hearing voices right now. So, and a voice from heaven. Everybody say a voice from heaven. Now, God is about to speak. Now, you about to see the distinction between Jesus and God. God is about to speak. So, and a voice from heaven said, you are me. Is that what it said? No, that's not what it said. It says, you are my dearly beloved, what? Son. Watch this. And you bring me what? Great joy. So now he's showing you the difference between him and God, right? And he says, listen to me. You're my one. You're my son. I'm excited about you. And you're going to bring me great joy. Because before you was in your mother's womb, I had already ordained your life. I had already finished you before I started you. I'm just about to validate you in the eyes of all the people. So that's why it opened up and everybody can see him. Everybody can hear God talking to him. So this is my son. So he brings in and now he ushers in the power of God in Jesus' life. And you're going to get to see it working throughout. Now watch this here in verse 12. The Spirit, everybody say the Spirit, then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness. So now the Holy Spirit is leading him into the wilderness, right? Now, Jesus is not walking there on his own. The Spirit is about to lead him, just like you. You're always going to be put in situations, right, to strengthen who you are as a person, right? So you got to remember that everything in your life is working together for the what? Good. So whatever you come up against, whatever trial and tribulation that come up against you in your life, remember God is in control. Everybody say God is in control. Now, here's what he says in verse 13. He says, where he was tempted by who? So now God, everybody say God. God in the form of the Holy Spirit of the Trinity leads him into the wilderness to be tempted by the adversary. The adversary, the devil is the adversary. Anything opposed God, right? So now he's opposing him. Here's what he says. He was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He's out there among animals. But watch this here. God didn't leave him out there alone, Tiffany. He sent the angels to make sure that he was taken care of. God is never going to put you in a situation ever in life that he's not there to rescue you. Never. You're never going to be. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Right? Now, he's about to usher in this new kingdom, and Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is about to bring it in. So Jesus is coming in, and Jesus is about to show us, man, God in human form. Right? So when the Holy Spirit comes down, he takes over his life. And watch this here now. Now the Holy Spirit controls him now. So anything he come up against, can't stand it. They don't have a chance. That's why when he went in the wilderness, when you read it, and especially in the Old Testament, in the King James Version, the devil offered him the world, the property, any food, everything. Everything he offered him, Jesus said, I already got this. Because now he is fully God now. So he's human, but he's really God, not operating strongly with the power of God, but as the Son of Man. Everybody say the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man, letting us know that we can conquer anything that Satan brings up against us. Anytime an adversary brings something up against you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you have to know this. And you have to live like it. But if you're living in the world and you're of the world, don't you try to call on And that was the issue when they told him that he was Beelzebub. They said, you're Beelzebub. He said, the devil is not going to destroy himself. Right? And now, everybody say, it's good. Everybody say, the kingdom is here now in me. So I better seek him first. I need his governing influence in every area of my life because I can't make a move without him. Right? And now here's verse 11. Later on, after John was arrested, now John is now off the scene. Everybody say John is off the scene. So now John came in for one purpose. He was filled with the Holy Spirit to introduce the king. He brings Jesus into the scene, and now he's off the scene. He gets arrested, and anybody doing any Bible scholar, people who have been reading the Bible, know anything about it, he ended up getting beheaded. He ended up getting killed. John even sent a message and said, was I doing this in vain? He sent a message to Jesus' disciples. Asked Jesus, is he really the one? Jesus wouldn't even answer him. He said, just tell him what I'm doing because my work is so important. All right? Now, everybody says kingdom. I want you to understand this kingdom is not anything. The kingdom is so powerful, right, that no devil in hell can stop it. Right? And when you embrace it, listen, the kingdom is God's governing influence in your life. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what happening. There's no devil in hell can come up against God's kingdom in your life. Now, he may come up against you, but he can't have a victory. Right? So, because he told there's going to be hell in the church, and the church is you. There's going to be hell in the church, but it won't prevail. It can't conquer. It can't win. So you got to understand what you're dealing with. So now, here is God in Jesus operating as God, as man, showing us what we can do and how we can handle things as a man with God inside of us. So now in this new kingdom, he's riding in us. But in order for him to really move in our life, you got to believe. Now, people say, well, he just come into your life. Yes, he does. But if I don't believe it, it don't work. If I don't believe the lights will come on, I'm not even going to hit the switch because I already think the fuse is blown. Right? But if I believe there's some power, I'm going to hit the switch so I can get some light in my life. Right? And so the Holy Spirit has come to let you know who you are in God. And you're part of this great, awesome dream team that's going to make a difference in the life of people. But you can't let the enemy control you. Right? How do he control you? By you allowing all the other crazy stuff in life to make decisions for you instead of God. Because I won't follow the word of God because I'm following my sin nature, right? And I refuse to be born again because I like what I'm doing. It's almost like we'll get to it in a minute. But right here. So now, let me tell you about this kingdom. So in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for a child is born. Everybody say a child is born. All right? But the son is not born. The son is given. So the Holy Spirit or the Christ is given to him, but the son was born of Mary. But the Christ, the power, the real power of God was given to him. Right? Now, he said, there's a government. Everybody say government. Will rest on his shoulders. Right? Everybody say government. Now, then he says this, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then he says this in verse 7. His government and his peace will never, what, end. Everybody said never. I got to know it. I got to believe it so much, I don't care what I come up against. There's no end to this thing. I know I got the goods. Right? I know I got the goods. That's why when I give because it ain't mine to give. The reason why I serve, because he told me if you want to be great, serve the people. Right? And I believe it so much that I serve the people. Now listen, I've been reading a lot of stuff. I've heard, now y'all know I talk about my faith all the time. And I be bragging about how good God is. But last night, God showed me in real time what he'll do if you just trust him. Right? All I did was mention the idea, and everybody told me, shut up, move, sit down, don't call me no more. And then God said, now you said, you got one responsibility, love the people and treat them right and watch me do this thing. Whatever your heart desire, I give it to you. So whatever you desire in your heart, right? When you walk in righteousness, he said, he's going to take care of you, right? Now this is good, right? So he said, it's government. Now this government is governed by the king. And it's a government of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. So if you're doing things that's contrary to righteousness and you know it's wrong, know you operating from another government. God is not the king of your life. You operating from another government. If you think you slick and you trying to beat rob Peter to pay Paul, stealing this here, doing this here, and running game on people, hustling people, and thinking you slick, remember, you operating from another government. And that demon that's running your life gonna have you running forever. You're never gonna get ahead. And everybody see you coming. You think nobody see you naked, but you're naked. Right? You don't have nothing. You're not about nothing. Everybody know you're not about nothing because you're nothing but a hustler. Right? Because God exposed you in front of everybody. But you think you know you can put on a suit and think you can cover it up, but you can't really cover it up. Everybody says, I don't know why she dressed up, but you know what she is. You know what he is. I don't know why he dressed up like that, because you can't cover it up when you're wrong. But watch this here. You can be in a pair of blue jeans. Everybody says, there's something about that one. The power of God is working in their life. I don't know why they just seem anointed. Right? That's because you operating from another government. And this government is a government of righteousness. So that means everything you try to do, you got to do it in righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. All right, so he said, his government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. It's never going to end. It's always going to be run by righteousness. I don't care who in this kingdom of the United States of America. I don't care what you are saying. I don't get in politics. But you can't sit up here and tell a lie and think you can hide behind God. Because it don't work. You're just trying to fool the people. But you already know what king. Listen, you can't tell a lie. Then they show the lie. And then everybody else justified. And you justify the lie. And you say, well, see, the other people ain't no good either. I don't care about the other people. I care about you. I'm listening to you. You quit lying. And don't you side with somebody that's lying. Don't side with none of them. Just walk in righteousness. Because if you side with somebody that's wrong and they're a liar, they trying to get you to make a decision based on a falsehood. So you know they lying. You say, but other people lying too, but I know you lying. If I know you lying and I'm following you, whatever I'm doing is based on a lie. And that kingdom is going to fall. So don't let your life be a life of a lie. Don't you live one way. Don't you say you this way, because you can fool me, but you can't fool you. And God lives inside of you. You can't fool you. You're looking in the mirror, you're mad, hoping God will change you. But he said, you got to change you. Right? Now, it's important. He says, the passionate commitment of the Lord's heaven's army will make this happen. He's talking about God's righteousness and making a commitment to God with all your heart. Everybody say, all your heart. Now, let me wrap this thing up so Terry can see the game. Right now, it's important. Right? In the kingdom of God, when God ushered in the new kingdom and he brought Jesus on the scene, he brought in a new government. This new government is going to come and it's going to be a transformation of the heart. Right? It was going to change you from the inside out, and everything about your life was going to be different. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you believe in God with all your heart, but you still not doing what God say do, then you better question who your loyalty is with. Right? You better question it. Right? It ain't about shouting. It's about relationships. Everything you do is about relationship. When you worship God and pray, you follow the Old Testament. All you Old Testament scholars who want to follow the law, and I'm going to tell you how God was back then, follow it. Everybody that did wrong was held accountable for their behavior. Whenever they did right, God blessed them. Every time a king would rise up and he was evil, God would punish everybody up under his regime. Until they decide to bring somebody else on who was doing right. And the question is, in this new kingdom, God said, listen, I want to dwell in you and through you. So I'm not going to be like I was back then. You don't have to go to anybody else. I'm going to be your priest. You're going to be the priest. I'm going to live in you. When you make a decision, I'm going to make it with you. Now, you can ignore me and act like I'm not a part of your life. But in this new kingdom, You can't get away. You can't blame nobody else. He said, in this new kingdom, he said, I'm there, present in every situation. If you go to the pits of hell, I'm going to be right there with you. And I'm going to remind you that you're living a raggedy life. I'm going to remind you that your sin nature has got full control of you and not your spirit man. I'm going to remind you that it's your sin nature that you're desiring to be like and you want so bad. It's your sin nature got full control. So you won't make a commitment to God in this new kingdom, right? In this new kingdom, he says, I want to rule and run your life, and I want to be inside of you, and I want every time you speak to somebody, I want you to speak as though I'm speaking. He said, when you see people, that's why this white nationalism and all this kind of stuff is absolutely bizarre, right? Because there's no way on God's green earth, man, that God move like that. He just don't move like that, right? God is a God of love. He said, you can't say you love me and you're treating people like crap. Right? You can't go around cussing people out and lying on them and not getting them their pay and doing all kind of stuff and kicking a can. You can't do it in the name of Jesus. About the Christ in your life. You got to be real about this thing. Right? This is a real thing. Every resource you have belong to God. Every resource you have belong to God. If you think a dime of it is yours, you've been hoodwinked. That you operating from another regime. That God let you know that everything belonged to him. In the Old Testament, they've shown him. I don't like talking about money, right? Because the people are so sensitive, because when they come to church, all you want to talk about is money. But when you read the Old Testament, every time they're going to do something, the people would bring their gold. They would bring their silver. They would bring their cattle. They would bring everything. People would just pour in because they wanted to make sure, man, that house of God was taken care of, but not in the church. The devil got us so tricked, we think somebody trying to, you ain't making but $25, and you think somebody going to steal $2.50 from you? For real? Seriously? Your mind is this big. If you believe that somebody, you making $100 and somebody gonna steal $10 from you, now you ain't getting my 10, I give you 2. Right? Seriously. But I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my, that's because you don't read the whole Bible. Right? Because when you read it, they kept giving. That's why the church never won. They had the people didn't lack for nothing. The priests, the Levites, nobody lacked because people that was committed. And anybody that didn't, listen, Pierre, if they didn't commit, God wipe them out. So I ain't got time for you. I'm not playing with you. I'm not going to give you something and you're going to clown over here and think it's yours. I'll take it all from you and give it to somebody else. I wouldn't even let your kids have it. Right? But we different because we love God. We different than the children of Israel. We the other group. We the group that was out there in the wilderness screaming and crying, thinking that we don't have to really commit our life to God. But here's the evidence. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we behave, we talk about Jesus, we call his name, we do all that kind of stuff, but all I got to do is follow you home and watch your podcast and look on your Facebook page. And your Facebook page, it says something different than your commitment to God. Right? You can't be out there shaking your rump because you want to get some views, because this Facebook, because YouTube going to give you some extra money. So I put on the phone and I just dance. Right? No, y'all laughing. This is real talk. So everybody try to get views because the more clicks they get, the more money they get. So they get you to take off a little more clothes and a little more this here. They make you cuss a little bit louder. They make you say some more vulgar stuff. They make you lie on people, all that just so people can follow you. You know you lying, and you know you don't represent. Then you come to church, praise the Lord. What do you do it? Give me a hug. God says, stop all that madness and live right. Stop the madness and live right. He says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek the governing influence of God. I challenge you today to really give your life to God. Give every facet of you to God. Listen to me. Give every area of your life to God. Every area. I mean, every area of your life. Don't be denied. Listen, everything belongs. You belong. Your health belongs to him. Okay, I'm done. I'm get out of here. I got a couple of minutes. I want to read something to you. This is good. Because y'all don't believe it. Now, when I stay in Mark, here's what happened. Soon as Jesus got the Holy Spirit, came out of the wilderness, he left, they arrested John the Baptist. If you read Mark, the first chapter, he go down. The first thing he started doing, he leave and go down to Galilee. He started preaching the kingdom of God. He started telling them how powerful God is. Martha, here's what he did next. There was a man possessed with a demon. The first thing he started doing, the first thing he healed was a man who was demon possessed. He wanted to deliver somebody who had a spirit in them, man, that wasn't right, that was controlling them. So he says this down here, verse 21. Jesus and his companions went into a town called Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Then 23 says, suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by evil spirit cried out. Now, watch the demons, right? Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? The demons even know. You're about to come and upset our apple cart, right? Then here's what he says. Have you come here to destroy us, right? He says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I know who you are, right? I know who you are. Then he says, but Jesus reprimanded him and said, you be quiet. Be quiet, spirit, and come out of him right now. Right? There's a spirit in some of us, right? Need to be quiet and come out. Amen. Right? So what Jesus is trying to do, and he went on, if you go down to the 29th verse, he started healing people. He started delivering people. His mission wasn't to raise money. His mission wasn't to teach people how to speak in tongues, how to dance, you know, how to receive the Holy Spirit, because that was all coming. The thing he did, he started delivering people. Because he knew he couldn't use, in this new kingdom, so many people was possessed with stuff. And he had to go in and heal people and deliver people. So he won the people over by the miracles he did. Right? And the power. And here's the thing. And some of the people that was in church, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, had a mind to run on. When he healed somebody on the Sabbath day, they said, you can't do that. He said, man, the Sabbath was made for man, not the man for the Sabbath. He said, the kingdom's about to flip. You need to understand the purpose of the kingdom. Right? He said, you understand this kingdom. This kingdom is about you. And you got to understand it. And it's about deliverance. It's about healing. God want to heal you. Yes. God want to deliver you. Yes. Now, I know you don't want to come to the altar because we don't do altar calls, but you need to come. You need to come to the altar and ask God to deliver you from that mess that's in your life. You got some things going on in your life. For real, for real, for real. Quit playing about it. Quit joking around about it and get delivered. If you don't, it's going to literally kill you. If you don't get to that thing will eat you for lunch. I'm telling you, you're going to be so miserable, you're about to lose your, people are losing their mind right now. That's what I tell you. You know, when I tell you guys about your tithe and offering, people don't want to give. The other day, man, they closed Cole's Bakery. They closed it. They closed it. And I was talking to one of the brothers on the pizza, man, I got people, they so scared now, they trying to get a job at the pizza place. Because they don't know what's about to happen. Right? So now they're running scared. Everybody, because any day, they can take some away. But when you got God, take it if you want to. I eat some bologna, and he'll turn it into steak. Because it's going to happen. Right? Don't fool yourself. It's coming. And when it comes, are you going to be able to run with the horsemen? Because the times is coming. Are you going to lose your mind? But I promise you, if you're not dialed into God, if you don't give God all of your life and all of your time, everything you touch is going to be self-destructive. You're not going to be able to get ahead. I don't care what you do. Every time you put your hand on a dollar, there's going to be a hole in your pocket. You're going to get sick, and the doctor ain't going to be able to heal you. They ain't going to know what to do. You're going to wake up, and you're going to know what happened. And here's the thing, and you're not even going to have the resource to do anything about it. You got administration said, we want to stop giving kids free lunch. The enemy's for real. He said, listen, Do you know what that means? We're going to stop giving you free lunches? Y'all don't know what that means. Some of y'all don't go to school, so it don't mean, but some of these kids, that's all they get. And listen to me. And okay, Terrio, I got you. Listen, if you, listen, y'all. It's going to be hell to pay. And the only thing that's going to help us out of this thing is going to be our relationship with God. It's the only thing that'll keep you sane. I got a phone call last night, 3 o'clock in the morning. A young girl from my church called, 3 o'clock in the morning from Kingdom Embassy, screaming and hollering at 3 o'clock in the morning, please, can I come over your house? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. The phone rung. I look at it, man. I'm like, what? Please. Screaming. I went to the store the other day, yesterday, and to get some mushrooms from the, what's the name, from the chicken, fish and chicken. A girl came, she spent 10 minutes talking to me about this young girl who had just 14 years old, was out there laughing and playing with her little brother, and I went in the room, shut the door, locked the door, and hung herself. 14 years old. The devil ain't playing. They going through the internet to come get you. Only thing going to keep you is your relationship with God. That's the only thing that's going to keep you sane. Listen, you got to be locked into him and dialed into him. If you don't, it's going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy you and your relationship with your children. It's going to take your job away. And then you're going to be like the children of Israel coming, Lord, send us a deliverer. Then you're going to commit to God like never before. Lord, if you just touch me this time, just give it to me. Lord, bless me. That's what they did. Lord, if you can just get me out of this one. Some of you are doing something, you're sleeping with people, you're going to get something, and you ain't going to know how you can't get rid of it. Because the devil got you, the devil got you guys thinking, won't nothing happen to you. He make you so crazy, you think you can do something with 3 or 4 people one time and not get nothing. You believe it's going to happen. You think you really can do it with 3 people, it ain't going to happen. Whatever disease they got, it's coming. And this is stuff out there now, can't nobody heal you from. And the only thing going to stop you from doing it is going to be your relationship with God, because then you'll walk in righteousness. When you walk in righteousness, man, you don't have to worry about all this stuff. So you got to get delivered from your sin nature. That's why Paul said, man, listen, Lord, I said, warn to my members, whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present. Then he says, but there's no condemnation for them that walk in the Christ. When you get in the 8th chapter. He said in Romans, he says, you guys are going to be so bad. Y'all worshiping all these idols. You're doing all this stuff. Now it's the internet and all this stuff. He said, so bad. He said, I'm going to make you lovers of yourself. Men going to have a desire for men, and women going to burn in their heart for women. He said that in Romans. He says, it's going to get so bad, yourself, your flesh, your sin nature going to just take over. And you're going to see people literally die right in front of your face. The life going to come right out of their body. And nothing you can do to help them, because they did not commit their life to God. Yes. I'm telling you what God loves, the truth. That's the only thing that's keep us going. It's got to be him, our relationship with him. Yes. Now, God, that's why he was healing people. And he said, listen, those who, I got 1 minute and I'm done. 1 minute, I'm going to be done. Some young boys came and was so sick and the place was so packed. Jesus was healing people. His friend says, listen, the only thing that can get him and deliver him is Jesus. But we can't get to him. His friend said, listen, man, we love you so much. They went on top of the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and let their friend down through the roof in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, because of your faith, he's healed. Right? Because, watch this, because of your faith. Because you changed the way you was thinking. Once you change your faith, you change your thinking. And you believe. The woman that issued blood, he said, somebody touch me. And Jesus didn't do nothing. Jesus said, oh, you heal because your faith healed you. Because you believe if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Because once you change your mind, you change your life. So today is the day that you make a commitment to God. If you don't have a relationship with him or you live in somewhere contrary to him, I challenge you today. to give your life to Christ. Everybody stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap. If you want somebody to touch and agree with you, I need all the prayer warriors. Everybody's a prayer warrior, just come up. Because we don't need all y'all. So we need the prayer warriors, just come up. If you're praying. Now, if you're not, stay in your seat. But if you're a prayer warrior, come on down, right? Because, listen, I don't want you to spit in nobody's face. I just want you to touch and agree with them. They just need somebody to touch and agree with them, right? If you want God to change something in your life, all right, I'm asking you to come down. You ain't get that. And just touch and agree. Have somebody touch and agree with you, right? Lord, as we come and make our commitment to you, and we ask you to deliver us, every person that come, they come in by faith, believing that you're going to change them, that you're going to transform their life. Don't let them leave like they came, in Jesus' name. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Let them have a desire for you. Let their life be totally different today. In the name of sanctify their life completely. In the name of Jesus. And as we leave this place, never your presence, we all always want to be present with you. Be with us and guide our hearts and guide our minds. We love you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Consider yourself dismissed. Those who would like prayer with somebody to touch with you, please come forward. The altar is open for you. Just come forward. Let us touch them. We just want to touch and agree with you. We want to touch and agree.